following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Got a tax problem? If so, please listen to this important message. The IRS and state collectors can legally come after much of what you own and will take all necessary action to collect any unpaid taxes. If you have unfiled tax returns, have been issued a wage garnishment, are being audited, or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000, 911 Tax Relief can help. Our expert team of tax professionals can immediately protect you from the IRS and will provide you a free confidential tax analysis showing you the best resolution to your problem, guaranteed. You may qualify to have up to 90% taken off the amount you will owe, have all collection activities against you stopped, or for other IRS programs. You may even qualify to not have to pay the IRS a single penny. It's critical you get the right information to protect yourself, so call now for a free tax analysis. Dial 800-358-6339. 800-358-6339. That's 800-358-6339.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, the first Tuesday in February. Doug Duda back in studio with you. Damon Day, UNK baseball coach, our Tuesday co-host again is here, who is so excited that it's finally started to snow now that baseball season is here. What's up, man?
Man.
What's up?
That's all I can't even give you the words that are going through my head right now to the general listening public.
You're as depressed about the snow as I am returning to work. And I don't think it matters if you're gone a day or 2 weeks. It just seems like you've been gone for a month. If you miss a day at work, you got all this stuff to catch up on. And now Snowmageddon 2014 is here, and it's conference tournament week. It seems to happen at least every other year. And tournament games are being moved. We'll get to all that in a little bit. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, is going to join us in our next segment to talk about the games once they are played, what we're looking for. Also, National Letter of Intent signing day is tomorrow. Luke Gifford is going to join us. We got a chance to talk to the Lincoln Southeast product when he gave his commitment. Now we'll see what it's like as he's ready to sign the papers tomorrow. And we've got a special show tomorrow. I'm kind of looking forward to this, Damon. As long as the weather doesn't shut down everything, we are going to be at Cunningham's for UNK National Letter of Intent signing day. We get to have Coach Morris, Coach Siegel, and Coach Crocker, offensive and defensive coordinators. Fort Hays State's coming in for basketball tomorrow. We're going to talk with Coach Cheney and Coach Kropp on the show tomorrow. So that's all part of it. We're going to have Brian Munson early on the show tomorrow to talk about the Huskers, because as Letter of Intent signing day rolls along, some of those letters are signed and faxed in and official at 8 in the morning. Some of them don't come in until 4 in the afternoon. Bo Pelini's press conference is at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. We will air that live here on ESPN Radio at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. Now, I know baseball isn't necessarily a big production when it comes to signing day, because you get kids all the time. It's a bigger deal for football and then for some schools for basketball. But when it is time to get the name on the dotted line, what's that like for a coach?
Oh, for baseball, it's totally different because it's in the middle of the season. I mean, I don't know why the NCAA signing date for baseball has to be April the 15th. Again, it's the NCAA, and when it comes to baseball, the decisions just you can't ever fathom. But it's in the middle of the kids' season. It's in the middle of your season.
Should it be in the winter?
I haven't figured out why it's not February the 1st. Well, I mean, I haven't figured out why you just don't sign you know, everybody on February the 1st? Or why isn't, you know, it doesn't make sense on why it's so late into April. Because, I mean, we have the verbal commitments. We have all those. And now everybody's just kind of waiting and seeing. And in baseball, it's a, you know, it's kind of a race between the junior colleges to find out who D2-wise is committed to a Division II school. So then those junior colleges will try to swoop in and, you know, and so the recruiting calendar for baseball is not a great one. I think even if you ask the Division I coaches, they have the November signing date, and then they have the, you know, another 6 months later, you have the baseball, you know, you have your second signing date. You know, from a baseball standpoint and a coach standpoint, and talking with other coaches, that I think that moving it to a February 1st for all sports would be a beneficial thing, but that's not going to happen. And so in baseball, there's no pomp and circumstance. I mean, those kids are in the middle of their season. They got stuff to do. You know, right now in football, you know, those kids are weight training and doing those types of things, but there's no games. I mean, they're not watching. So it's a totally different vibe, and it's a totally different thing when it comes to the commitment, you know, signing from a sport-to-sport thing. But I'm excited for tomorrow for Coach Morris and his staff. I know how hard they've worked in recruiting and doing what they needed to do to get this class in and signed. And you know, that's 80% of the business these days. That's 80% of every coach's job is to recruit, because it don't matter how good you are, X's and O's. If you don't have the horses and the talent in place to do some things, then you're going to be playing catch-up when it comes to the field. And so signing date recruiting has become a huge, huge part of what coaches need to do.
Also, Hastings College and Coach Harper and the crew will be going through their recruiting and their signings tomorrow. We hope to have information from what Hastings College has. And by the way, for the Hastings folks, they're having another Bronco Talk. It's today at noon at Valentino's. We have our Loper Links in Kearney. We have the Bronco Talks over at Hastings, and Hastings College coaches will be at Valentino's today at noon. So if you get a chance, if you're a Bronco fan, head on over there today and learn what's going on with the Bronco Talk. As we said, Bob Jensen and Luke Gifford joining us later on in the show, plus Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, so stay with us for that, and we'll give you a chance to win a $25 gift certificate to Troutman's here in Kearney, and that'll make you feel a little bit better on a day like this. But was out, spoke a little bit with Randy yesterday, and Jim on the show about the Super Bowl, but your thoughts on the Super Bowl. I'm still my first reaction, I'll give you this, was I was so disappointed, and I wanted to say it was the worst thing, and it was so bad, and it was terrible, but I wanted to give the respect to Seattle, because being on the show, I did not, at the beginning of the year, I thought they were overrated, overhyped, and they weren't. So there you go. Yeah, great. They are a great, great football team, and as I said yesterday, I think they will be good for many years to come, and I also said they will not be in the Super Bowl next year because it's just too tough. Nothing against Seattle. It wouldn't matter if it was Dallas, my team, San Francisco, Indianapolis, Denver, Kansas City. I don't think either one of those teams, and in fact, I think Denver has a better chance of being back next year over Seattle. And being able to watch the game in a different place yesterday, I'm not going to delve into if you were all fired up about commercials and things like that. Also, Will Shields not getting into the Hall of Fame. It doesn't sound like he's getting in anytime soon. It sounds to me like Will Shields will be one of those guys that when he's in his last year or two of eligibility, if there is a, let's just say, weaker class, because they're talking here that the next couple three classes are going to be jam-packed with first-year people, that there'll be a push made for Will Shields. I don't see Will Shields going into the Hall of Fame for at least 10 more years because of this situation. He's going to have to find an open class, and then there's more guys every year that gets into the pool, and everybody seems to think that Will Shields has the credentials to get in. It's just that he's going up against the flashier players in some instances. So hopefully sometime, and that's not even to mention Roger Craig. I can't believe of all, and my disdain for the 49ers at the time, being a Cowboy fan during that era, you can understand, of all the people that they put into the Hall of Fame and Roger Craig isn't in, it is beyond belief to me. He's like Ray Guy. He was as good of a running back as you could have at that time, catching the ball. At that time, he kind of invented catching the ball out of the backfield almost and running the ball. And the numbers that he had, and he's not even close to getting into the Hall of Fame, is unbelievable. But back to you, Damon.
No, I think you're right. When it comes to the Hall of Fame, I think if you look at the Football Hall of Fame and the Basketball Hall of Fame and the mess that is the Baseball Hall of Fame, I don't think the Hall of Fames have progressed – with how the media has progressed or social media has progressed. We're still – I think their selection processes and their limitations and what they deem as important is archaic compared to the way that it's scrutinized today. And so I don't think that they've changed their process very much, but the scrutiny on their process is ever growing. And so I think when you look at the Hall of Fames nowadays – you know, they are still that old school way of doing things and bringing in certain guys and reputations and resumes. They're so overanalyzed nowadays with all the social media, Twitter, with all the different things. There's such a big scrutiny on who gets into the Hall of Fame that I don't think those Hall of Fames have done a great job of doing a good job of keeping up with that. They're still kind of very – you don't really know how someone gets in or how someone doesn't get in. How's this – you know, and baseball is the worst of all of them when it comes to their Hall of Fames. But I don't think the Hall of Fames quite mean as much as they once did because they've gotten so selective that they're leaving out people who genuinely deserve it for whatever reason. I think of baseball more so, well, you know, no one gets this, you know, who was it? Cal Ripken's not even 100%
guy. The folks that vote have the more holier-than-thou
right
attitude than
right
the other sports.
And I think that everybody has become more intelligent about it. I think before you used to kind of look at the Hall of Fame classes and you looked at the baseball writers or the NFL writers and you're like, okay, tell me about these guys and give me a summation of their career and I'm going to believe that. Well, nowadays, we all got that. We can go Google a guy. We can go look things up. And they haven't changed with that. And so I think they're kind of just – I don't think that the Hall of Fames have done a great job of marketing themselves and educating their fan bases into what is their Hall of Fame is truly about. And when you start talking about the guys being left off for the NFL or, you know, what, they didn't bring Ray Guy. Did Ray Guy get in this
year?
Yeah,
he did.
You know, finally. And, you know, they talk about, you know, oh, well, he was just a punter. Well, you know, you talk about how field position's such a big deal and this, that. I mean, so it's kind of like you said, the glamour positions get it. You know, the pitchers, the home run hitters in baseball, the quarterbacks, the wideouts, So the Hall of Fame discussion is funny. I did enjoy Chris Carter getting called out a little bit, you know, of by the Seattle wide receiving corps. I did enjoy that a little bit. As a novice football fan, you know, not a diehard NFL guy, the Super Bowl is what it is. I mean, it was great cheese dip, great chicken wings. You know, I didn't even get through my first plate of chips. And the game seemed like it was. It felt like it was over.
Trying to think if I had any snacks during the game.
You know,
good meal beforehand, great meal afterwards.
It was just a bad. It was just a bad game.
Yeah, it was because I can be this guy and come on the other side here and go, man, Seattle had everything from the bad snap to give them the momentum early, which every underdog needs. You get a kick return, you get a defensive touchdown on a deflected ball. You know, you had everything bounce your way. And for the longest time there, I said, boy, Russell Wilson, you know, Russell Wilson's going to be the MVP because they won't have anybody else. I'm glad they gave it to the defensive player for Seattle because I didn't think they'd be able to pick one defensive player out. And then, of course, the stats out that Russell Wilson was the first guy to throw for 200 yards and two touchdowns in a Super Bowl to not be named the MVP. Well, you know, big deal.
If you saw the game, you can't go to stats. If you watched the game, you realize that defense set the tone. And you know, I thought, you know, just again, I thought that Denver hit the panic button and tried to rely too. I thought that they needed to try to run the ball more so. I didn't understand what they were trying to do with the short passing game. With if you're going to have all these great cornerbacks and everything else, do you not try to methodically with?
Well, here's what was pointed out yesterday.
So that's what I kind of thought was, why didn't you run the ball more?
All coaches could kind of point this out. The front four of Seattle won this football game because usually you have to make a choice. Are you going to pressure the quarterback in the running game, or are you going to set back in coverage? Those are usually the two things you have to decide as a defense. And if any of my defensive coordinator friends out there disagree, email, text me, that's fine. But that's usually what it comes down to. You usually can't be great at both. But when Seattle was stopping the run game and getting pressure on Manning, now pressure on Manning and pressure on Russell Wilson are two different things because Manning's not going to scramble and he knows how to dump the ball out of there. But when you can get pressure with four or five guys and that still allows you to drop six back to cover the wide receivers, you're in a no-win situation. There isn't going to be anybody open. Although I do think it's funny that if you would just Peyton got so anxious the couple times they tried a deep ball, which was open, he totally missed on those. I think the deep ball was open against Seattle. You know what? Sometimes you just got to rear back and chuck it. And there's the points where that they do blame Manning because he is the offensive coordinator of this football team. It was a stinker of a Super Bowl. It was a great day for Seattle. And being where I was shocked at the number of Seattle people, Seattle fans that were around compared to Denver. I don't think it was a West Coast thing because they're both, you know, western part of the United States. And this is before the game, not during the game, before the game. I couldn't believe all the Seattle Seahawks fans that I saw.
No,
because I have to think against San Francisco. If you were a San Francisco fan, you would hate Seattle. So it wasn't like you were a San Francisco fan and converted to Seattle, but I was surprised.
No, I mean, I think this was a bigger deal for Seattle. This was a big, Seattle showed up. I mean, they had the 12th man at the stadium. You heard the announcer speaking about it. This was a bigger deal for Seattle. Seattle had taken those 2 weeks of hearing how no one could stop Peyton Manning, and they had a belief, and they did stop him. And then let's face it, Peyton had a horrible game. He had the worst game of his season, which unfortunately happened in the Super Bowl, but it almost seemed that they were going to do whatever it took for Peyton to be the hero in this thing to overcame the rough start and brought him back, and they just abandoned any sort of, you know, Sean Marino and Monte Ball are very capable running backs, and Seattle could have gotten to, I understand that you kind of hit the panic button because you were down, but is that because you kept throwing? You know, that's the thing that I just go back to, is it seemed like to me that Denver had decided that we're going to put this on the arm of Peyton Manning to win, and we'll be gosh darn if he doesn't do it for us. It just seemed like it was a complete abandonment of an offensive philosophy and move to, oh, well, Peyton had to throw it 49 times. Well, yeah, he was down 22-0 at some point, but did you help get in that 22-0 hole? Because it just became so pass-oriented and became so pass-happy, and that was your whole – I think Peyton Manning made the quote that he'll be really excited if people know Sean Marino's name after this game. He made that quote, and they brought it up during the telecast, and then you saw it in his post-game comment that for them to be successful, Marino need to have a huge game, and I felt like they abandoned that after the bad snap, and they just seemed to kind of hit the panic button. I think that's what leads to a blowout. I think that's what leads to a bad game, you know, and then you have an hour and a half layoff with the halftime show, and then bang, Seattle comes out and wins, basically puts the dagger in it.
I don't care if your dauber is down, though. How can it wasn't like they were playing Cleveland. It wasn't like they were playing Jacksonville. I mean, even those teams would have put up, it seems to me, a little bit better. I mean, how can one team be so dominant in the Super Bowl? In this day and age, it's pretty amazing. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question of the day. What did more to help or hurt Peyton Manning's legacy? You may have seen this question out there. Winning his fifth MVP, which would have helped his legacy, or losing in the Super Bowl, or the single-season record for touchdowns and yards. So he's got a couple positives. Does that make you think, man, more of him after this season? Or is because they got blown out in the Super Bowl, think you hurt their legacy? You can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. Our Midtown Mart Cooler question brought to you by Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. What was the favorite part of this year's Super Bowl? 46% of you yesterday voted on the commercials. 27% said the halftime show, and 20%, obviously, Seahawks fans said the game. So vote today at ESPNSuperstation.com. What did more to help or hurt Peyton Manning's legacy? Winning his fifth MVP, setting the single-season record for touchdowns and yards, or losing the Super Bowl on Sunday? You got to vote.
I don't understand the legacy debate. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Yeah, I'm on the help.
I mean,
You're an MVP five times, and you've set the records. I'll go with the MVP, because you can set records and still not be the MVP. So I'll go MVP with the help. That's my vote.
Yeah, I think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. I just do. I don't think that Tom Brady's anything better than him just because Tom has three Super Bowls. I just don't. I mean, if you look at the quarterback, it's a complete body of work, and because he's 1 for 2 in Super Bowls, does that diminish him? I don't know. I think Dan Marino was one of the best quarterbacks ever, and he never won one.
I wonder.
That's just me, though. I don't get into this whole his legacy's tarnished. How can it be? He's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game in this offensive era.
Here's my debate that I want to hear the pros, the national analysts kind of get on here. What if, because there's players like this, if you're on the right team at the right time, all things are, good God, if Peyton Manning was a quarterback at Seattle, would it be different? Would it be looked at different? Is it because Peyton Manning's persona is so big that the rest of the guys, I mean, if he was put on a good defense, I mean, does he make the receivers or do the receivers make him? He's been at two different spots. He's been at Indy with Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, all the great guys that he had. Or is it because they have had below average defenses on both of those teams for the most part?
Not I always go back year. To, though, but why do they have below average defenses?
Money.
Yeah.
You can only pay so many
that's
of them.
What I was going to say. I mean, half the reason why he's always played with a below average defense is because he's got half of the salary cap just being him alone. So you can only get so many other guys. And so, you know, the legacy debate and all those types of things, he's a great quarterback. There's no way to, you can't say he's not a great quarterback because he's 1-for-2 in Super Bowls and had some clunker of some games and some playoffs. Hey, let's face it, every team that's playing in the playoffs is pretty good. You know, and then when you get to a Super Bowl and you have 2 weeks to prepare, and the way these guys prepare these days and just how intelligent the coaching staffs are and the film usage and all these different things, it's different. I mean, that's 2 weeks to prepare. It felt like at times Seattle knew what routes the Broncos were going to run. Well, because they did their homework. They were prepared to do that. So I think he's one of the great quarterbacks. You know, I don't think that his legacy is in any question. I think that when you're starting to, I mean, for any player to be even in discussion as one of the greatest ever is a huge feather in their cap. But I think you're really trying to start to split hairs when you're saying, oh, well, he's, you know, had some tough runs in the playoff and he's only been to one Super Bowl. I mean, hey, as a Cleveland Brown fan, if we had a quarterback that was a 5-time MVP and won one Super Bowl, there'd be monuments built after that individual. They may change the name of Cleveland to Peytonville if he was the Browns quarterback and did that for them.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to talk with Bob Jensen. We're going to talk with Nebraska recruit Luke Gifford. It's all coming up, plus Troutman's Tuesday trivia. Did they play the Milligan ad in the pregame? I didn't watch all 5 hours of the pregame. Did this thing ever air, Lee Bryce at Milligan, or was it just an internet deal? I don't know. We'll take a break back after this.
People from all around are talking about how the new Refirm Now is changing their lives forever.
I lost 79 pounds. My energy has increased and I'm even more toned.
I believe this is the perfect product to give you the energy and motivation to lose weight. I actually cut my body fat in half.
Refirm Now is the biggest weight loss breakthrough in years. Helps with stress, more energy, fat burning, your appetite, and the best body toning ingredients.
I have never felt better. Just take the step and get to complete nutrition.
So if you want the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine, you need Refirm Now. Found only at Complete Nutrition. If you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
State Farm, this is Andrea.
Yeah, what if I get into an accident in, say, Accident, Arkansas?
Anywhere in the U.S., State Farm has you covered.
Uh-huh, and if I hit the only tree in Lone Pine, California?
We'll send a tow truck right over.
What if I get dinged in Denton?
North Carolina or Texas?
Both.
Then we'll send two trucks.
Well played.
State Farm handles more claims than any other company. Over 35,000 per day. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM and get to a better state.
Filing your federal taxes with TaxAct.com is easy, fast, and free. You who can do anything, you got this. You, manage your razor stubble so it looks naturally scrappy. You, bought your dream home for far less than asking. You can change a tire, a light bulb, and a diaper back to back. You, recite the wisdom of philosophers, late night comedians, and cartoon characters at just the right moment. You got this. TaxAct.com is easy, fast, and free. We guide you at every step. All e-fileable federal forms plus your maximum refund is guaranteed. You got this. TaxAct.com.
J-E-R-S-E-Y. Lace them up.
Straight away. Three.
Strap it on.
Three to try to win it.
It's pull it over. You're going to Jersey's, where the high-def big screens put you there, along with great food, cold drinks, great fans. It's simple. Jersey's attracts real sports fans, the kind like you, who wear the team colors on their back, their loyalty on their sleeves, bleed their team's colors. Jersey Sports Bar, Vista Point, North Kearney. It's like a courtside ticket.
For the win. Up, got it, the buzzer. Oh, my.
A winter weather advisory goes into effect for our listening area today, and a wind chill advisory is in effect tonight. We'll see snow today with 2 to 4 inches possibly. It's met highs in the low 20s. I'm meteorologist Sam Dodaisky. Right now, it's 16 degrees.
Come to decide that the things that I tried were in my life just to get high on. When I sit alone, come get a little known, but I need more than myself this time.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report in just a moment. But because of the weather, here's what I've got for you on our conference basketball tournaments. And we will pass along those to you here as everything, for the most part, in our area is being moved. I keep getting information from time to time here. So blah, 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 blah. Checking right here as we come back on air to see if there was anything new. Here's what we've got. The Lou Platt Conference Basketball Tournament quarterfinals have all been moved to Thursday. The semifinals and finals will be in Ord Friday and Saturday. The start times of the semifinals are still to be determined, and there's no doubt what they're trying to determine here. Do we play, Ord's got two gyms, do we play the girls in one and the boys in the other, or do we start a little earlier in the afternoon and play four back-to-back-to-back semifinals all day long, which means the kids miss more school? I don't know. From a fan's perspective, I hope they don't split them into two gyms, but you kind of look here, and the odds of the same school playing at the same time are very minute. And so even if somebody does play, you can put, you know, hey, our girls will play in this gym at 6, our boys will play in this gym at 7:45, you know, something like that. Here's what I suggest. You know what? Use the girls' gym, play them both at 4:30, whatever you want, and then use the good gym and put the boy or boys, whatever you want to do, but it's the girls' year to play first. So, you know, play the old gym and the new gym at 4:30, put three games in the new gym, put one game in the old gym, and let's move on. I mean, with all due respect, I think we all know as we look at this tournament that there's going to be a game that's not close, okay? And maybe I'm going to offend somebody there, but it's not going to be close. So let's just put that where it needs to be and move on with the rest of it. Fort Kearney Conference and Twin Valley Conference boys games have been postponed until tomorrow. These are quarterfinals. The girls played last night, and there were plenty of upsets, and the boys will play tomorrow. The Southern Nebraska Conference tournament has moved all of their quarterfinals until Thursday as well. And the only thing I don't have an update on of this second is the Loup Valley Conference Tournament. But right now, we bring in Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep Report, where Central City's colors are very close to that of Seattle. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, you know, that's funny, dude. I hadn't really put that all together, but that's kind of visionary. You are a guy with a lot of time on his hands. That's good. Hey, you know, that is something about Ord with the two gyms, though. I knew that would come in handy. That's outstanding.
That's what we do. If we played in the two gyms back when I played, we'd be having the 3-point line overlap half court.
That is true.
Bob, did I offend anybody by saying, you know, what'd you think of my plan there?
Well, I tell you what, without really examining a bracket at all, I thought the delicate manner in which way you handled that, frankly, was so confusing, I wouldn't have any idea enough to be offended. So I thought you did fine. I mean, if you're looking for my opinion, I thought that was handled as professionally and as tactfully as possible.
I'm just going to say this, that if the seeds advance, as they should, then the one seed has had a running clock on the fourth and the fifth seed earlier this year. So that's all I'm saying. And hopefully we won't see that. It'll be a much more competitive game. But let's talk a little bit of basketball here. Let's go back to what we saw, because it's not like all the conference tournaments are this week. Centennial, Crossroads, Central Conference were last week. Beatrice Girls really stepped up last week. That's the one thing I noticed from coming back over the weekend. And then you see the Cozad Boys win the Southwest Conference tournament. A couple of weeks ago, we had the Goldenrod and a couple others. So of the tournaments that have already been played, what has stood out to you?
Well, you know, okay, I'll touch on that point that you just made last. The thing with Cozad, you know, Cozad's basketball program, you know, all the football glory and all that, that's completely overshadowed everything in that school, up to and probably including education over the last few weeks. But the Cozad boys have got athletes. That's clearly obvious, and it was just maybe a matter of shaking off all the football and playing around a little bit, because Ainsworth's got a good basketball team, and Cozad winning that was real nice. On the other end of the spectrum, you know, High Plains Community had not lost a ball game all year. They're an exciting team to watch. They have the most fun set of – they have the best set of guards in Class D. I mean, there's a lot to enjoy there, but they got beat by Exeter Milligan in the final. And Exeter Milligan is everything that High Plains is not. If High Plains plays with flourishes and hits all the high notes, Exeter's got that steady thump, bass drum going. There's not going to be a whole lot of excitement. It's just that when you get done and you look up, you realize they've beaten you by 10. And Exeter, that was a tremendous win for them. Anytime you can win your conference and beat an undefeated team in the final. But, man, you know, Exeter, you can't rule out the idea that they will sweep football and boys basketball. That senior class is really, really good, and that was a really, really good win for them.
Talking here on the Doug and Daddy Show with Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, and you can check him out online every day. Some updates there for you as well. Centennial Conference Tournament is always tough on the boys' side, and that was proven. And I love St. Cecilia's schedule this year. They play Parkview Christian later this week. They've added some new teams on there from the boys' side, but what did you think of the way that worked out? Because St. Cecilia girls and boys were both number one seeds.
Oh, yeah, well, they're, as they usually do, they're playing really good basketball at St. Cecilia. Now that the girls got past that four-game stretch that was just completely insane, playing those four games back-to-back. I can't remember, was it Northwest, Kearney Catholic, Minden, Friend? That was a lot to choke down. I saw St. Cecilia play eventual champion Lincoln Christian in the semifinals, and a couple things. St. Cecilia is a better basketball team than when I saw them at Christmas, but so is Lincoln Christian. And Lincoln Christian won three games in that tournament. They're all nail biters. Two of them in overtime, and they beat St. Cecilia by three with a shot at the buzzer by Brooks Asher that, you know, was a long shot but could have tied it. And a kid that people, if they have a chance to see play, Logan Power from Lincoln Christian is just. He is just so much fun to watch. He is such an athlete. He's, I don't know, 6'3", 6'4". He could play any position on the floor. I think he averaged something like 28 points and 16 rebounds for those three games last week. And, you know, he basically single, you know, nobody wins a tournament by themselves, but he certainly put his team in position to win all three of those. And, you know, St. Cecilia, you know, that is a team that is going to be something to reckon with, not just the rest of this year, but also in the coming years. The word has it, as good as those sophomores are, and there are other players on the team besides the sophomores, they've got some good senior leadership. Alex Sheehy immediately comes to mind. Word has it the eighth graders are the best of the bunch. And so, you know, we could be coming into another real golden era for St. Cecilia boys basketball.
Let's get into this week. Our main area here is Lou Platt and Fort Kearney, but I do want to touch on the Twin Valley, the Southern Nebraska. The Loup Valley is out there as well. There are some good schools in classes C and D there. Anything that you're looking for?
Well, you know, a team I want to see play is Ravenna. And that sound, you know, that's fun anyway. The Ravenna boys are fun to watch all the time. That's a great program. Paul Bronick has done so many great things with that program in the last decade. But you know, they kind of were in the shadows a little bit last year, and word had it that things were going to be better this year. They had some young players that were going to get a see the floor, and they would be a better basketball team. And they are, by all accounts, a lot better basketball team. I haven't seen them play, but they're what, 15-2, 16-2, something like that. And I'm really anxious to see them play. It really seems like they have positioned themselves to be a real force once we start sub district play. And really, after last night's Fort Kearney Conference, and I imagine you probably talked about that, Doug, the last night's games in the Fort Kearney Conference, I'd be terrified to step onto the floor if I was favored to play, because that was the last thing you wanted to be last night. So that'll be interesting to see. And then that boys' side of the tournament is just so balanced. Everybody's chasing Elm Creek, but, man, I tell you what, I just got a feeling that maybe that's Overton's tournament to win. I guess we'll see.
We take a look at what else is going on out there, because some of these are down. Kearney and Hastings are supposed to play tonight. As we mentioned at the start of the segment, all of these games scheduled for tonight have been postponed to either Wednesday or Thursday. Lou Platte and Southern are Thursday, and the Twin Valley and Fort Kearney are going to try and play tomorrow. So we can see things blowing around already here. Don't want to let you go without talking a little football, because I know Damon wants to ask a couple football questions over here. But National Letter of Intent signing day is tomorrow. We're going to have Luke Gifford come on in just a little bit. There are some Nebraska boys that are going to sign with the Huskers, the Lopers, Hastings. And then this 2015 class has already started. Just, I guess, a general thought on the kids from that you've seen that are going to be signing some papers tomorrow.
Well, I guess, you know, we talked about Clearback last summer, dude, and probably even before that. This class of 2014, while I don't know there's a Johnny Rogers in the bunch, is really one of our best classes, certainly one of our deepest classes in a long time. And having said that, you know, the guy in that group, it's kind of a two-headed monster, but I get the feeling that Harrison Phillips is going to go out to Stanford and become really an incredibly good college football player. I think DJ Foster is the best of the three kids that that we have coming from in-state to play at Nebraska. But you just get the, you know, Phillips, just there's something about that kid. He is just such a winner. He's just got an aura about him, and I just really like him a lot. I think he's going to do great things out there. I think DJ has got a chance to certainly be an all-conference type player at Nebraska. And, you know, there's a bunch of other kids. You know, South Dakota and North Dakota schools have just really mined Nebraska football hard especially the last 5-6 years. And we've got, I don't know, there's at least a half a dozen kids, probably more than that, they're going to sign Division I scholarships with those schools. You know, North Dakota, North Dakota State, South Dakota, that kind of thing.
You're going to be, and you probably already are a little bit, but you're going to be hitting that trek here in a month or two to get the publication ready for 2014. Who are some of the kids that, now that we've seen the Nebraska Junior Day and we look ahead, who are some of these juniors that are going to be seniors that we're going to be looking at?
Calvin Strong.
Okay. I'm telling you, besides what, Calvin,
you know,
Strong,
it seems like that kid should be already 35 in the way that, you know, everything is so blown out of proportion, you know, in today's media driven world. Okay, but I'm telling you what, the kid is Johnny Rogers, and I don't care how many stars he's got behind his name. There are some kids that just transcend the high school football game. The 3,000 yards, that doesn't matter. I'm telling you, the kid is just a special, special kind of talent. And I watch that kid, and just it isn't his, obviously he's not very big. It's not that he is even closeout speed. You know, he's not, I don't know if he's an 80-yard touchdown guy. But when it comes to strength, balance, vision, toughness, he's the most exciting player that I have seen in a Nebraska high school football uniform, at least since Danny Woodhead. And that was actually a question that I got asked here back over Christmas was, all right, Danny Woodhead, Calvin Strong. Well, that shouldn't be answered just yet, because Calvin's got to play one more year, and let's see. But I have said since he left here that Danny Woodhead was the best high school running back I've ever seen in person. Calvin's got a real strong chance of replacing him. And one other thing, and I don't know if this is going to venture due to into the Division I deal, but I am simply fascinated, and I mentioned this here a few weeks ago, I'm simply fascinated by three large gentlemen that go to Class C1 schools. And, they were our this just probably was luck more than anything, but they were our number 1, 2, and 3 underclassmen, according to Huskerland Prep Report last year. Tanner Borchert there at Gothenburg, Matt Clark, who went to Nebraska's junior day, and they really like what they see with him from Syracuse, and then Johanna Guyfon from Central Catholic. Those three kids just don't look and they don't play like C1 kids. There is a lot more to be told, but those three kids are also somebody that immediately jumped to my mind.
All right, Robert, we'll let you get the snowblower all geeked up here and ready to roll, and we will look forward to seeing you somewhere along the line at these conference basketball tournaments.
You know, it's kind of funny you say that, dude. As I sit here in my office, and look, my wife sure looks cold shoveling the sidewalk. I'm going to have to open the door there and give her a little encouragement.
Would you quit using Walt's lines? That's not fair. You can't rehash those, brother. You cannot rehash those. That's not fair.
That's not fair. No, it's not.
Bobby, it's always great to talk with you.
Yeah, you bet, dude. Thanks a lot.
See you, buddy. Bob Jensen joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I want to switch gears here because I want to bring Damon Day back into the fold.
I was going to say, I didn't understand a word that he saw. I don't even know where 3/4 of the schools that he mentioned are.
I did want to mention, what did you think about last Thursday night with one of the great comebacks in Nebraska basketball history?
It was a good win. It was a great win.
Indiana had a good first half.
You know, I always go back to this. If your signature win is beating a bad Indiana team at home.
Legendary Indiana team.
Yeah, they had, two guys drafted off of last year's team in the top 10 picks that weren't there.
Yeah, so at least you've had top 10 picks.
Exactly. So
these guys might be in a couple years.
And I guess my biggest thing is when I get the text messages and they're like, oh, yeah, Indiana basketball. All I can tell anybody is if you have never been to Assembly Hall for a basketball game and you consider yourself a true connoisseur of fine sporting events, put it on your bucket list.
We'll take a break here. The Midway Auto Dealership broadcast
that. Cool.
And when we come back, Nebraska recruit Luke Gifford, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, and where are Damon's Cleveland Browns when it comes to a chance at the Super Bowl next year? Back after this.
This is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Filing your federal taxes with TaxAct.com is easy, fast, and free. You who can do anything, you got this. You, manage your razor stubble so it looks naturally scrappy. You, want your dream home for far less than asking. You can change a tire, a light bulb, and a diaper back to back. You, recite the wisdom of philosophers, late night comedians, and cartoon characters at just the right moment. You got this. TaxAct.com is easy, fast, and free. We guide you at every step. All e-filable federal forms plus your maximum refund is guaranteed. You got this. TaxAct.com.
You know, Greeny, in business travel, just like football, you sometimes have to call a hotel audible.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
Who doesn't? But it's also when La Quinta Inns and Suites can really save the day with LQ Instant Hold.
Yeah, it lets you instantly hold a hotel room on your smartphone with just your phone number.
All without having to grab your credit card.
That's because LQ Instant Hold is one more way La Quinta takes care of you, so you can take care of business.
So when you're on the road and the game plans change,
all you have to do is call an audible.
Instant Hold your next day on your smartphone at LQ.com.
We'll be right back.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Weather advisory goes into effect for our listening area today, and a wind chill advisory is in effect tonight. We'll see snow today with 2 to 4 inches possibly. It's met highs in the low 20s. I'm meteorologist Sam Dunaisky. Right now it's 16 degrees.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Don't forget our Doug and Daddy National Letter of Intent Recruiting Signing Day special tomorrow, live from Cunningham's here in Kearney. We'll be talking Huskers. We'll be talking Lopers, extended Lopers, plus the basketball that's going on tomorrow. And we'll also be talking Hastings and everything else that's going on around the area. As Bob Jensen just said, there's quite a few kids that'll be signing out of state, some D1, some 1A and things like that. It'll be interesting to see how many kids end up going to Wyoming with Craig Bull, who's picked up some Nebraska kids from North Dakota State going out to Wyoming. But our next guest, before we bring him in, Doug Duda, Damon Day. Damon, I, again, you've co-hosted so many times, and then like three times here recently, we've had to shut your mic off per NCAA rules.
Per NCAA rules, I don't want to, you know, I could tamper with this individual and, you know, illegally recruit him to be a Loper.
Yeah, so Luke Gifford may change from Husker football to UNK baseball, right?
After speaking with me on this interview, it could happen. So I have to sequester?
Recuse.
Recuse.
Yes.
I need to recuse myself from any interviews with potential student athletes at the University of Nebraska at Kearney.
All right, you get on your NCAA Twitter, and we will welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, Lincoln Southeast, and soon to be Nebraska Cornhusker Luke Gifford. Luke, thanks so much for the time. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Now, are you sure you don't want to switch over to baseball at the last minute?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna stick with football.
Well, let's start with basketball. You guys are putting it together after a little problem there at the beginning of January with some Omaha teams, but you've got a 4-game winning streak. You beat state rated Norfolk, and then kind of an exciting game Saturday night where you had a big one against Burke. How's basketball?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been really good. We did have that little streak there where it was a little tough, but we kind of found ourselves again and started getting back to what we've been doing, and those two wins were big for us. So especially Saturday night, first a good team. They might have a couple losses that they shouldn't have, but they're definitely a good team, so it was good to hold them off in the end.
Luke, the Class A schedule changed, and I don't think the kids really or the athletes don't really notice it as much as maybe the coaches and the fans, but Lincoln schools outside of your conference and maybe having to come out to Grand Island once every other year, you guys don't have to do a whole lot of traveling, but you had to make it out to North Platte here a couple of weeks ago. What was that like? I mean, compared to all the other road games that are not necessarily road games for you.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot tougher than the other ones. But for me, that was my second trip out there. We actually went out there last year too, so I kind of knew what to expect. They're a very, very solid team too, so you can't go out there and just expect to walk through it. I think that especially last year, we didn't do that very well. We went out there and kind of got it handed to us. So this year we really made it a point that it was a business trip out there, and that we were going to take it very seriously, and we played well and came home with a W.
What'd you think of the officiating out in North Platte?
I thought it was fine. You know, you always hear about the officiating being different in Norfolk and Grand Island and North Platte and all those other places, but I really haven't noticed a difference, and I thought it was fine.
That's awesome. Of course, a buddy of ours was doing that, so I set you up with that one right there. So let's
it was good.
let's talk football. Luke Gifford with us. We got a chance to talk to Luke right after he gave his commitment to Nebraska way back last March. Luke, what's the last year, or what it's actually been about 10 months here, 11 months? What's it been like? Do you still get hampered by other colleges, or has it been kind of like you hoped coming through your season and knowing that Nebraska was the place for you?
Yeah, it's been exactly like I hoped. After I committed, I had Iowa State offer me, and I kind of just told them that I wasn't interested, and Nebraska was the place for me. And then after that, it really slowed down. I still got letters and stuff like that, but eventually coaches kind of figured it out that I wasn't going anywhere. So my season was perfect for committing early. I wanted to be able to just focus on that, and in that aspect, it went really well.
Luke, during the time, I mean, I got to think it's just natural for any person, let alone a high school senior, to get on social media. Did you pay attention to how people think Nebraska's recruiting class is, how maybe your stock changed, move up or down compared nationally? Did you pay any attention to that?
You know, I really try not to. After the first game of our season, I decided to get off of social media for the rest of the football season and just kind of take a break from all of it. So I did really try to stay away from it. But, you know, you always hear it. It doesn't matter if it's social media or at school or in the papers and stuff. But I tried to stay away from it and just kind of keep my focus on what was going on at the time.
Luke Gifford's joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. National Letter of Intent signing day is tomorrow. Of course, Lincoln Southeast Rocket with us here as he gets ready to sign. What's it going to be like tomorrow? Everybody usually has a little ceremony, but what are you feeling like less than 24 hours away from finally getting to sign that piece of paper?
Man, I'm so excited. I've been waiting for this for so long, and to finally have the chance to do it and go to such a great place with such a great tradition is a huge honor. So to be able to finally sign the papers and make it official, I'm really excited, and to be able to do that with Gerald tomorrow, that'll be fun.
What time is the ceremony?
At 2:15.
All right, beautiful. Does that get you out of class?
Yeah, actually, I get out pretty early, so it doesn't get me out of any class.
You got all your stuff done, huh?
Yep, I got it all done.
Luke, we'll keep you here for a couple more minutes. I want to ask you, have you had much more interaction with your potential or your soon-to-be teammates or the class that's going to sign tomorrow? Have you had a lot of interaction with some of the guys as of late?
Yeah, we all keep in touch all the time. We talk quite a bit. I was actually just hanging out with Zach Darlington the other day. He's already here. So I've been hanging out with him a little bit, and we all talk about basketball, how that's going, and we keep in touch. So it's been fun. I got a lot of good friends that I've made over the last year, and I'm excited to be able to play with them.
Well, since you brought up Zach, how's he feeling? Does he feel confident that he's going to be able to play football?
Yeah, he does. He expects to come into spring ball ready to compete for a job. So I'm excited for him, and I'm really, really glad that everything worked out.
What did you think of the Husker season last year?
You know, obviously there were some rough patches, but when you have injuries like that, it's tough. It makes it hard, and they didn't use it for an excuse, and I thought they fought hard all year, and the defense really came around and was really one of our stronger points. So I'm really excited about that, and then obviously they closed out the season the way they wanted to, and I couldn't be more excited to help carry out the momentum in the next year.
Last moment here with Luke Gifford. He's going to sign with the Huskers tomorrow. Luke, were you nervous at all when you saw the Iowa post-game press conference? I mean, if you're thinking, as many people thought, maybe Coach Pelini won't be here mm-hmm. next year. I'm glad that he is. I'm sure you're glad that he is. But just kind of your thoughts during that 24-hour process.
You know, it was tough. All the recruits, we kind of got together and made sure that we knew what was going on for sure before we did anything that we'd regret. I mean, not that I would ever probably go anywhere, but I know there's a lot of guys that were so connected to the coaching staff that if there were some changes, there'd probably be a few guys to leave. So We all came together and we really made it a point to find out what was really going on. So we talked to the coaching staff and they helped us through it. And got to give them a lot of credit because a lot of things could have came out of that, but we all held together pretty strong and the class really ended up pretty good.
And Luke, one final time for the fans and the folks that are listening out there. Most people have you still listed as an athlete. Have the coaches made up their mind what they want to do with you yet? And what have you made up your mind on what you want to do as far as a major?
I am starting off at safety, and then I'm going to work my way down to nickel and play a little bit around in the box. Coach Bellini wants to use my length a little bit, so we'll see where that goes. And then I'm thinking about majoring in something in the psychology field, but I haven't really decided yet. We're just going to play by ear.
Well, Luke, it's great talking with you. Tomorrow will be a great day for you and your family, and we can't wait to see you in a little Husker Scarlet and Cream and talk with you when you're wearing the helmet. So appreciate the time you've given us on the Doug and Daddy Show, and again, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Take care, buddy. Luke Gifford, always great to talk with current and future Huskers. Man, I never had a chance to do something like that. Most people don't, but...
Very big day tomorrow for a lot of athletes.
Hearts got to be pounding, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge day. I mean, when you get an opportunity to continue to achieve your goals and dreams that you set out to do before you started your high school career, and the opportunity to do that is just amazing. I mean, it's just great to see young people accomplishing those goals, and tomorrow's a huge, huge day. I think sometimes the general fan or just the novice watcher of athletics doesn't quite understand what it means to the majority of young people, whether you're signing at with the Huskers or UNK or Hastings. It's a huge opportunity to get to go on and play collegiate athletics that I know will be a big day for a lot of people tomorrow.
What do you think? Which piece of paper, and maybe you can throw a couple others in there, but I've got a couple. What would be more nervous to sign, your national letter of intent paper or your marriage certificate?
To me... You know, to me, it would definitely be your national letter of intent because it's more binding than your marriage certificate. I mean, you can't divorce your school in the NCAA without sitting out for a year.
Yeah, but which one's the bigger penalty?
You know,
which one are you getting a bigger penalty on? Come on. Oh, that's awesome.
No, that's the thing about the national letter of intent is and he alluded to it during the whole thing, and I don't think people realize these kids are signing to go to the coaching staff.
Oh yeah,
you know, I know that people don't want to hear that. They want to hear how it's all for school and educate. No, the 90% of these athletes are going because of the coaching staff that is going to be their coach, especially at the higher levels of collegiate athletics. And I think you heard that in that saying from the standpoint of, you know, they kept their head, they, you know, stayed informed by the current coaching staff. But I don't think people truly understand just, you know, how big, I mean, you saw it with Vanderbilt. You saw it with Vanderbilt. Franklin left. They're down to what, 11, 13 in a recruiting class that was 24 just a month and a half ago.
And Wilbon, the running back's coming up
right.
Nebraska.
So, you know, people, coaching changes may seem like on the outside looking in and say, oh, yeah, we'll just get a new guy. Yeah, well, when there's not really a clear-cut person to bring in, you're probably better off at staying with the guy that you have and kind of just, you know, riding out a little bit with that coach more than, you know, full rebuilds.
We'll finish up the show in a moment. We will have Troutman's Tuesday Trivia when we come back and the very latest on school dismissals and tournament postponements. We'll do all that when we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it because you're back to 100% and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
Geico presents a man who just saved on his motorcycle insurance.
What up? Evan here. Question. You like apples? I'll get to that in a minute. First, check out my motorcycle. Flames? Yep. Saddlebags? Yep. Room for two? Negatory! Sorry, ladies. I ride solo. Now, wait for it. How you like them apples? Aw, don't cry. Insuring this beast was crazy easy. Called Geico and boom, saved enough to buy a sidecar. Now, if you dry your tears, I might just let you ride in it.
Geico Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
In a perfect world, every meal would be at Buffalo Wild Wings. But sometimes, you just can't get here.
That's why we're bringing some of the best of wings to you with Buffalo Wild Wings Takeout. Now, whether it's for you or you and your whole office, you can bring our hand-spun wings, 16 signature sauces, 5 seasonings, appetizers, burgers, desserts, and more with you. And don't worry, the minute we figure out how to fit our big screens and craft beers on tap into the trunk of your car, we'll let you know.
Take out for any party, any size. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Tonight on Compass Media Network's coverage of NCAA basketball, it's gut check time in the Big Ten as Ohio State travels to Iowa. Hi, I'm Drew Bonadelli. Join Mike Wozniak and me for all the action as Aaron Kraft and the Buckeyes look for a much-needed win against Devin Marble and the Hawkeyes. Ohio State, Iowa from Carver Hawkeye. If it's NCAA basketball, it's right here.
Catch all the action tonight at 6 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A winter weather advisory goes into effect for our listening area today, and a wind chill advisory is in effect tonight. We'll see snow today with 2 to 4 inches possibly. Expect highs in the low 20s. I'm meteorologist Sam Donaisky. Right now it's 16 degrees.
When darkness turns to light, it ends tonight.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Coming up, our Troutman's Tuesday trivia. But don't forget, you're sitting out there right now going, I can't get around. If we get this 3 inches of snow, if we get this 6 inches of snow, it ain't happening. My tires aren't good. My vehicle's not going to make it around. Well, then it's time to make that trip to your Midway Auto dealership. Whether you just need your tires rotated, maybe you need some new tires, maybe you need some work done on your vehicle, maybe you need windshield wipers, maybe you need the oil change. They can do all of that with their certified technicians in and out in 30 minutes. Or if you need that truck, SUV, van to get your family around in winter conditions to keep them safe, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac South 2nd Avenue in Kearney is there for you with their everyday low hassle-free prices and over 500 vehicles available to choose from. The Midway Certified Program with a year of oil changes, their 6-month, 6,000-mile warranty on the vehicle, 2-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. It's all there for you. You can check out their inventory as well on a day like this at thinkmidway.com. The all-new thinkmidway.com. Again, let's run down the school closings. Here we go, and then we've got Troutman's Tuesday trivia. Adams Central is out at 1:30 today. Their Huskerland wrestling sign-up has been postponed to Thursday. We'll keep it alphabetical. Alma and Aurora, they're out at 1. Bertrand's out at noon. Blue Hill, 1:30. Central City, 1. Centura, 2. Donovan Trumbull, 1. You are out at that time. Elwood closing at noon. Franklin, they are closing early. I just don't have the time in front of me. Closing at 1 o'clock is Hampton and Harvard and Kennesaw. Lawrence Nelson, you're out at 12:30. Loomis, 1 o'clock. Same for Minden. Nebraska Christian is out at 12:30. Let's see what else we got here. Palmer, you're out at 1. Ravenna, out at 2. Red Cloud, out at 1. Sandy Creek, and they are going to leave at 12:30. Silver Lake, closing early today. Superior, 1 o'clock. Wilcox Hildreth, 1 o'clock today. And all of the tournaments, for the most part, have been postponed. Again, for the Twin Valley and the Fort Kearney Conference, their boys' quarterfinals have been moved from today until Wednesday, and then everything else will stay the same. Southern Nebraska, they have moved their quarterfinals to Thursday, and then that moves everything back a day. And for the Lou Platte Conference Tournament, they have moved their quarterfinals until Thursday. They will play all the semifinals on Friday and the championships on Saturday. That is the very latest that we have. I'm still flabbergasted that your Cleveland Browns are not one of the last picks from Vegas. They're 75-1 with Buffalo and the Jets to win the Super Bowl next year. Oakland and Jacksonville are 200-1. I would take Oakland over Cleveland right now.
As a diehard Cleveland Browns fan, so would I.
I would take the Jets over them.
In the latest mock draft by ESPN.com, Teddy Bridgewater is the 4th pick going to the Cleveland Browns. How much are his representatives right now trying to sell the fact that he's either got a drug habit, that he can't read, that he's going to go play in the Canadian Football League rather than go to the Browns? He's going to play baseball. That's what he's selling. Anything right now to not be a Cleveland Brown. Because his career is over if he's selected by the Browns. Over. Think of all the great ones. Tim Couch, Brady Quinn, all. Brandon Whedon, Trent Richardson. If you're selected by the Cleveland Browns, it is a hex on your NFL career.
Well, let's make somebody happy. We don't want to hex anybody. It's time for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, 888-455-ESPN. That's 888-455-3776. If you've not won in the last 2 months, then you are eligible for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. We will ask you a trivia question. The first person to correctly answer said trivia question will then get a $25 gift card to Troutman's to get whatever you want. Bone-in ham, bacon, prime rib. Maybe you just want to get a meat and cheese tray. Maybe some salami. Oh, maybe you want some fresh frozen seafood. They've got it all there for you. You can stock up on snack sticks. You can go crazy. They've got steaks. They've got the best USDA certified yummy yummy at Troutman's. So stop by and pick it up. Here we go. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Let's go to the phone lines on this snowy Tuesday. Who are we chatting with?
Bill and Carney.
Bill and Carney, here we go. Bill's kind of a smart guy. We've had him on. You know what? I'm not even going to predict that he might get this. Here it is. The Olympics get underway this week. How you feel about the Olympics, Bill?
Oh, I don't care too much about it. I watch a few things like hockey and stuff like that. But.
Well, I think you're going to like this because this is kind of more of a history question. Only one. Now, this is Summer and Winter Olympics combined. Summer and Winter Olympics combined. Only one city in the world has hosted the Olympics three times. What city is it? Bill, you got a guess?
Yeah, I don't know on that one.
Okay, try back. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Give us a call, and we'll get you on the program today. Who are we chatting with?
Matt.
Matt, only one city in the world has hosted the Olympics three times. Which city is it?
London.
Yeah, there you go. That is it. Matt is the smartest guy in the room today. 1908, 1948, and 2012 Summer Olympics. London is the correct answer. He's smart, Damon. He's
any
smart.
Any other? Has there ever been another city in Great Britain to hold one?
No. Just London. No, not even, I don't even think they've had one on the Ireland or anything like that. Hey, Matt, hang on. We'll get Jeff to take care of you, and congratulations.
Thank you.
United States has held it eight times. Two cities have held it twice in the United States, Lake Placid and Los Angeles. Other cities that have hosted it twice, Paris, France, but not since 1924. That seems weird. You would think Paris would be a cool place to have the Olympics. I won't make any jokes. I'm just saying I think that would probably be a cool place to have
the Olympics. Would you go to the French Olympics?
I'd like to go to any Olympics. I haven't even been to one in the United States. So,
are you an Olympic fan?
I like watching it. And as I said, I hate the whole tape delayed watching it stuff. I mean, in this day and age, it's over. If it's happened, you've seen it, you've heard about it. And I hate the whole thing, too, that NBC has the rights, and so ESPN can't show anything but a still photo. I hate that. I hate that because you can
9 hours difference?
Oh,
is that what it is? 9 hours
nine
difference?
Or ten. I think it's 10 for us, 9 okay. for the East Coast, 10 here. Also, one other city has hosted the Olympics twice in Switzerland, St. Moritz.
Oh, St. Moritz. Good time.
Good times there in 28 and 48.
They get raucous in St. Moritz.
That's some serious, serious stuff. Man.
Isn't that the home of curling? I do enjoy watching curling.
Curling's fun. I like watching Olympic hockey. I like watching bobsled and luge. Love that. Absolutely love that. Go Jamaica. Go Kurt Tomasevich. Tomasevich won Jamaica 2.
You know, there's been a big controversy in the
Swiss.
There's been a big controversy on the female bobsled team.
Because of the trackster?
Do you have two veteran pushers were not selected for the team for a trackster?
I guess that's better than being a veteran puller.
Yeah.
So what do you think? You think if the trackster's better, don't you put her on?
Yeah, but they're saying that she wasn't better, that she's just on because to bring
her name.
Yeah, which I was kind of like, well, no one knows about bobsledding. So if this brings notoriety to your sport, it's probably a good decision.
What are, you got any other sports that I'm forgetting that we like in the winter games?
Skeleton. Seriously, any man that straps himself to a sled and gets upwards of 90 miles an hour down a tube, That's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, but you're just waiting for the wreck.
No,
you're just waiting for the wreck.
No, I'm not that guy that watches NASCAR just to watch the big wreck. Ski jumping.
Oh yes,
slope style. Jumping. Slope style for the snowboard.
Downhill's pretty fun.
Is that where they kind of get?
Downhills with the grant, the slalom.
Each other,
no, no.
What's that? Where they kind of are racing in a course, tight knit, four guys.
Ooh, that's a new X game type of deal. Okay. I don't know the exact name of it. I've seen it. I know what you're talking
team
about.
Figure
the
skating.
Moguls are stupid.
Yeah,
the moguls are stupid.
Yeah,
yeah.
Team figure skating.
No,
you know.
I'm not even.
You're a communist.
I'm not even trying.
You're
to play,
a communist.
No, I'm not even trying
Come
to play
on,
man
get it,
card.
Get in.
Not
the
even
emails.
Trying to play man card. Some of that's cool, but you got to watch it by yourself and not let anybody know you're watching it, right?
You're not rude. It's America.
Or you got to be married or have a girlfriend that you have to act like you hate it. See, that's a thing where the guy gets away with one right there. You can get away with one right there. You want to make points with the lady? If she wants to watch the figure skating, you know you want to watch it, so you just act like you don't, and then points in your points for you.
I would just like to record state that you are not rooting for Team USA in something.
Cross country isn't bad. Speed skating. Love speed skating.
I like the, is it biathlon where they
shoot stuff? Hard to televise that because you never know where they're going to shoot.
I know nothing about it. I just think that would be a, I'm not a huge winner.
Freestyle skiing. That's an X game thing. No.
Speed skating is pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, most of it's pretty cool. There's just not near as many things in the winter as there are in the summer.
Speed skating is pretty
cool.
They
should play basketball in the winter. Basketball should be in the winter games.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, maybe volleyball. But anyway, there you go. I think that takes us through another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. Hopefully everybody stays safe tonight. Again, most everything has been postponed. We will keep you up to date here on our network of stations. And we want to thank Luke Gifford, who will sign with Nebraska tomorrow, Husker recruit, for another 24 hours. And he said it's at 2:15, so another 26 hours. Decided that he did not want to switch to baseball today, so sorry about that, Damon Day. Also, want to thank Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep for joining us tomorrow. Brian Munson of Big Red Report. Plus, we are live for 2 hours at Cunningham's with our National Letter of Intent Signing Day special. Also going to focus heavy on UNK with our Loper Link. We're going to talk with both the basketball coaches as Fort Hays State comes in tomorrow night. We'll talk with the head coach, Daryl Morris, his offensive and defensive coordinators, Andy Siegel and Robert Crocker, plus a little cross country or indoor track, I guess, tomorrow. So it's 11-1. Come on down to Cunningham's. You'll be able to find out more about all the recruits. We'd love to have you down. It's going to be a really cool show. We're looking forward to doing it. Damon? Hopefully you get to play some baseball this weekend, man. I'm hoping for you.
Thanks,
without
buddy.
Without freezing. Cheer up, dude.
Thanks.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.